And what is going on, yo? Welcome back to Conspiracy Fears and Mysteries, and I am your host, Rafi. How's everybody doing? And I hope everybody's doing okay, because I asked how everybody's doing, and I figured everybody answered, oh, I'm good, because I'm trying to be optimistic, but whatever, man. I'm reading a book right now called The How to Not Give a Fuck, or something like that, The Art of Not Giving a Fuck, something. I'm sorry, not reading. It's an audio book that I listen to while I'm working, and it's really good, and it's really crazy. You gotta really listen to it. The way that he talks about it, it's called The Art of Not Giving a Fuck, something like that. I'll get the true, meaning or whatever of the book, the true name, not meaning of the book soon, and I'll let you guys know what's going on. But anyway, man. Today I'm going to do something a little different. It's not going to be too long, not going to be too true crime, because it's not true crime. This is just something I wanted to talk about, because I heard somebody else talking about it. And it was another podcaster that I listened to. I wish I could have chimed in. I just kind of wrote him a little text on it. And he was talking about, not true crime, but he was talking about aliens and things, and do people believe in them? People believe in them and all whatever. And why do we believe in them? And et cetera, et cetera. And also I wanted to talk about when I was interested in all this stuff, in conspiracies and true crime. And you'd be surprised, it was at a very, very extremely young age, and why I am intrigued by it, even though I'm in my 40s now and all that. So why are we intrigued by it? So first of all, let's go, and I'm going to start from the back forward, and so I'm going to tell you exactly why, or when, I'm sorry, not why, but when I became interested in all this stuff and all this. And believe it or not, it was, I would say, probably when I was 8 years old, maybe eight, nine years old. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, 8, 9 years old, why? Wow, you should be playing with G.I. Joes. While I did have some G.I. Joes, which is probably what led me to be in the Army, I also was left home alone a lot. I was a latchkey kid. If you guys don't know what that is, ask somebody from the cities. They call them latchkey kids. The kids that walk home and they have a key to their house, they're young. Nobody ever picked me up from school when I grew up in New York or whatever, when I came from the island. From where I was born, nobody ever picked me up. Usually, I walked home with other friends. Luckily, nothing ever happened to me or any of the people, at least that I walked with. We stay safe, but I was, needless to say, I was home alone a lot. And then when my little brother was born, he was born when I was about that age, 9. He was when he was born. My mom and his dad, we have different fathers, same mother. He stayed home also with me. I kind of took care of him at a very young age, my mom had to work, his dad had to work. Then when they separated two or three years after that, so he wasn't around, and I basically, helped raise my little brother until he was 8, and then I went to the military. But while that, in that time when I was alone, I spent a lot of time alone. Obviously, my mom was, one of the rules was, no, you can't go outside until I get home. Well, my mom was only home for a few, she would go to school, then come home for 2 or 3 hours, and then go to work. She worked at a diner and at this other place. At one time, she had 2 jobs, so she wasn't home too much. On the weekends, she would, only work at the diner in the morning, and then come home the rest of the day, go, she'd try to take us to the park or something, whatever. But whatever. I'm not trying to tell you my sob story. But the thing is, I stayed home a lot. So I had nothing to do but either watch TV, or my mom had a lot of books. Sometimes she would get books for free from whatever. People just give her stacks of books or whatever. So I would just grab them and read. Some of the words I didn't understand because it was, you know, beyond my comprehension. But she, at the time, she bought me an encyclopedia. Anybody younger than probably 30 probably doesn't know what that is, because you Google everything. But we had encyclopedias. That was our Google. When we didn't know something, we went to the encyclopedia, and the encyclopedia was from A to Z, 1, 2, 3, etc. That's how you found things. When I say that, it means if you're looking for, like, Genghis Khan, for example, then you would go to the encyclopedia to the G, and then H, and then E, and it would eventually lead you to Genghis Khan. It would have as much information as they decided to put in that encyclopedia. So it would be, you know, whatever they read, and that's what you would read. So I had the encyclopedia, had some books, and, you know, I used to watch a lot of sci-fi. And since I was alone, nobody was telling me, hey, you can't watch that horror movie. My mom, when she worked at the diner at night, I would play horror movies. One of the things that I stumbled upon was there was three shows. It was Rescue 911. At the time, that was William Shatner. He was hosting it. Unsolved Mysteries. It's probably the most prolific one that got me. And then there's another show in the 80s. It talked about murders and stuff like that. I started watching that. And it was scary. Because it would say, hey, these are true stories. And when they said true stories, I said, wait a minute, this really happened? Like, I wasn't hip to murder or anything like that. So without somebody telling me, hey, don't watch that, don't watch that, I kind of just started, you know, watching. Now that, you know, this could have gone south really bad. This could have messed me up, but luckily it didn't. You know, I think I had a pretty good support system. My grandfather was still around, all that stuff. My mom was still very strict. She wasn't abusive or anything, but she was strict. And that kind of, you know, led me the right way. And then, you know, so had enough things going on around me. I grew up in the hood, let's just say that. And, you know, so it was things that were pulling me away from becoming just a complete psychopath. It wasn't like I just stayed home. I did have a best friend. We used to go, and I used to tell him about it. Hey, man, you guys see what I saw? Well, he wasn't really interested in that. He was more into sci-fi and Star Wars and stuff like that. So he's the one who put me on to Star Wars. I didn't know what that was. I don't think I had a VCR at one point. So anyway, I would read these books, and I would read these murder, unsolved mysteries, and they're talking about aliens and ghosts and these, possessions and Illuminati and anything like that. It was just crazy, and the mate and this and Masonic this and Masonic that. Oh, and just to address the elephant in the room, yes, I am a traveling man. If you don't know what that means, ask somebody. I'll leave it there. But anyway, so I got into that, and I remember where I was at in New York, Unsolved Mysteries came on Wednesdays. I could not wait till Wednesdays. Wednesdays at 9 o'clock, Channel 4, I believe it was. And I could not wait for Unsolved Mysteries. Like, I mean, that, and I'm talking about the original. Now, the middle Unsolved Mysteries wasn't as prolific as the original with Robert Stack. And the ones that they got now. Now, the second season didn't hit me as hard as the first season of Unsolved Mysteries. I think they did a good job with both seasons, but the first season really hit hard. Really was about it. But anyway, so that's how I got into it. You know, I was listening and watching it. And the more that I discovered, the more I wanted to know. So, especially if it was Unsolved, I wanted to be, you know, I was I was the only kid gathered, you know, that questioned everything. I started questioning everything, everything. I started to think outside the box. Anything in excess is bad, but I still to this day question everything. I don't just believe anything. One thing that I always did, you know, I know in this day and age, we talk about, you know, 2020, we talk about, fake news and this and that. Well, I was saying that a lot. This is what I said when I was younger. I think I know who I told was my mom, one of my friends. You know, I always said, I was like, how do we know that what they're saying in the news is real, is true? Like, and my mom's be like, well, because it is, you know, my mom's a diehard liberal. She's old school too. And, you know, I'm not saying that all liberals believe all the news. I'm just saying, or Republicans or whatever, I'm just saying. But I used to say, how do we know what they're saying, that what they're saying is true? I used to question every time that they talked about somebody who died. And I still see that. It's always like, oh, he was she was such a good person. She would give the shirt off her back or his back or for somebody. Loved long walks on the beach. It was just the greatest people would just always get murdered. It was never the assholes or anything like that that got murdered. I used to be like, I don't know. That's one of the little things I question. But the news, I used to be like, how do we know that's true? Like, how do we know what they're saying is true? Like, what if they just want us to believe that? Because I remember anything I'd watch on the news, I believed it. You know, but as I got more into conspiracies and this and that, and then later on I learned where the word conspiracy came from. You know, it was a term coined by the CIA to debunk, to make things look not to if you ever want somebody to not believe something, or you want to kind of shit on the truth, if you want to disguise something, call it a conspiracy. That's all you got to do. Bottom line, call it a conspiracy. Oh no, that's a conspiracy. And you know, the news is infamous for that. When they don't want people to know something, they'll just call it a conspiracy. You know, are there some conspiracies that are actual conspiracies? Yes, a ton. But, you know, there's a lot that we know is not, and they just call it a conspiracy. And I always question since a kid. I'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's what they're saying. You know, I question it, just like when, you know, the like when somebody gets arrested, you got to have evidence and this and that. And, you know, there's some people that get convicted and you find out later that is a lie, you know, that evidence is wrong. And what they said was wrong, they lied. Same way I felt about news or hearing stuff on TV. I'm like, nah, maybe they want us. Because I by that point, it was just like 11, 12. I was already reading conspiracy theories. Then I found a friend who was also into it. He was he started talking about aliens. And aliens was a big thing, you know, extraterrestrials and, you know, he said that was like, oh my God, extraterrestrials. It was crazy. We just watch extraterrestrial stuff and about on Unsolved Mysteries especially. And I would watch any documentary that came out on TV that had to do with aliens, things. You know, I was just fascinated by it, man. I'm like, oh my God. And then I would look up at the sky. So when I would go, I'd go camping a lot. You know, I went camping. And then also, I remember I was born on an island, Dominican Republic. And when over there, especially when I grew up there in the 80s, 90s, when I would go there a lot, Dominican Republic, I don't know if they do it now. I haven't been there in a long time. But they used to, the lights used to go out in certain spots of the city. The power would go out and everybody would be walking around with candles or, you know, gas things. And, you know, that was just part of life. It would go out for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. Well, you could see the stars really good. And I would look up and just imagine, what the hell is out there? What is that? Now, one thing they would always, I think I had either a bad teacher or what. I don't know what was going on, like, in school. I would question. She'd be talking about, oh, this is how the astronauts go to the moon. This is how they you know, we had a globe, and she had a little shuttle. This is how the space shuttle launches from Cape Canaveral or wherever, and it goes to the moon, and this, that, and the third. And I was like, you just said that the Earth spins. And yeah, she's like, yeah, it spins. My science teacher, when I was a kid, yeah, it spins like this, and it spins very fast, you know, for the size of the Earth compared to what we, you know, this, you know, you got to take the size comparison to the way it spins, like almost 1,000 miles an hour or whatever. And I'd be like, wow, how do we, if it's spinning that fast, how do we get back on? Like, you know, how do you, and she'd be like, whoa, gravity. Her answer to everything was gravity. You know, that's, and I always felt like that was just a bizarre excuse. When you can't answer something, you just say gravity. And we're supposed to just, you know, that was just me. I know the Earth is round. I'm not saying it's flat, but I'm not saying it's not either. It was just a nice theory to, you know, for years I'm like, flat, that's stupid to believe, you know. But then when you hear the arguments, you know, and it's hard because you grew up with science, you grew up listening to science, like, no, scientists know what they're talking about. This is it, and it was proven, blah, blah, blah. Well, like I said before, I question everything. How do we know these guys weren't meant to say that? These are the scientists that are, you know, in high positions, and they work for NASA. Well, NASA's the government. Whenever you involve the government, you have to question it. You have to question it. You know what I mean? You question everything. Now, I believe more private company like SpaceX. I mean, if it's not funded by the government, I believe it more. I don't know why, but even them sometimes, you know, it's all about control. You fast forward. Okay, so fast forward that, you know, I was into that and all. And then, you know, I really started getting into true crime. Just fascinated by people's thoughts and things. I got into serial killers and reading. Way I got into serial killers, that wasn't too long ago. That was maybe, let me see. I read a serial killer, this book that I just couldn't put down. I read it in like 3 weeks, I think it was. And the only reason it took me that long was because I was deployed. It was my first deployment to Iraq, or in 2001 when I went to Kosovo. I can't remember which one it was, but I know I was deployed. I was in uniform, and it was one of those free books that they give you at the USO. I took it. I remember it had like the drawing was like blood in the cover. I took it, and it was a true crime book about some murders that had happened in California. I read it. I was just intrigued, and I was looking for more books like that. So I went and found them. More books, true crime, boom, murder. And I just fell down the rabbit hole. Never looked back. That was years ago. That was almost 20 years ago. I think, yeah, that was 20 years ago, actually. And then I just been like, holy crap. I'm actually have a true crime book in front of me right now. And I'm going to read it, and I'm going to talk about it in my next podcast. And then also, next thing I want to get into real quick, that's going to be real fast. What do we believe in stuff? Well, you got people like me. I think I just answered it while I was talking. People are curious. We're naturally curious people. We're a curious species, excuse me. Some people are satisfied with what they learn. They're just satisfied with that, and they're going with it. You know, yeah, I come from a religious background, Catholic, you know, Christian Catholic, but, I question everything, you know. I don't like to just, and it could be good and bad sometimes, but I question everything. People are like that. A lot of people, not everybody, they question things. And also, you know, when it comes to like the whole alien and things, and so much to it. There's so much to it. Do we want to believe? Are we content believing that we are alone? If you believe that the space is endless, and limitless. Do you believe that this tiny, tiny, this enzyme of an enzyme of an amoeba of an enzyme of a zygote enzyme inside of another enzyme of Earth, do you think this is the only life out here? I mean, really? Do you believe this is the only life? Can't. I mean, it's unfathomable to believe that. You can't. It's just, I just refuse to believe that. It doesn't matter. We can't be the only intelligent life. Not just life, but intelligent life. You know what I mean? There's too many, you know what, you know, and that, you know, there's just too many species on this earth, some that, a lot that we still haven't discovered, for me to believe that up there, there's no other species. Then we're the only intelligent ones, because we're not that smart. I mean, we say, we put intelligence in front of humans, but nah, a lot of times we think animals will do a lot better, and we all know they will, without us. Like, we will fuck some shit up. We will. Honestly, we do. You know what I mean? We will fuck some shit up. And I think there was intelligence before, and there will be intelligence after. I think there's different dimensional levels, I believe. And we are not right now ready to see a being from the next dimension of thinking. I'm not talking about just another dimension that, oh, he lives in this dimension. Maybe that too, but the next dimension of thinking, our brain is not even ready or developed to deal with what we see. It's too much. It'd be like seeing God. It's too much for you. It is too much. You know, God, to me, I think is a being that's in another dimension that we're just not ready to fathom. We have to worship him for what he is, and that is, he is all, right? I think the beings in another dimension are all. And I think there are beings that are in our dimension, yes, that are just smarter than us, maybe in our realm somewhere. Maybe they live here, we just haven't seen them. That's a whole nother conversation. Maybe they live, you know, they live on another planet. They live on another, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's just crazy out there. But, you know what I mean? Space travel is another thing that I'm, you know, oh, man, space travel. When you look at planets. Let's look at the planets. Look at Mars. You look at Jupiter and all that. If you have a telescope, if you buy one of those, just a simple telescope, one of those $200 ones, whatever, $300. Of course, obviously, the more you spend, the better it is, I guess. And you look up at the planet, because you can see the little dot with the naked eye. Oh, it's glowing. Look and see it. That's Jupiter right there. Yeah. When you look up at the planets, you think to yourself, how the hell do we get up there? Yes, scientists have found a way to get to Mars. I'm not sure if they got to Jupiter, but Mars. And you're thinking, man, like, you can figure out how to get something from here to there, because it takes some brains to do it. And there's, you know, a lot of intelligent people out there. Take some brains to do it. But yet, for some simple things, what I think would be simple for a brain of that capacity to think of, we haven't done yet. You know, cures for this, cures for that. But then that goes back to conspiracies, where I think they do have cures for this, that, cancer, et cetera, et cetera. But it's too much money to cure it. It's too much money lost to just be to give a cure. It's probably a pill. It's probably some pill. It's probably like a grape. Like eat a grape and an orange in this way, and it'll cure it. But if we give that, we lose billions and trillions of dollars in treatments, and there's people that don't want to lose that. That is messed up. But look how far these planets are. Like the how far they are. I mean, it goes into a million different theories of different things, you know, and just getting the mind, that's mental exercise. Conspiracy theorists or whatever, people think outside the box, their physical body might not look like Schwarzenegger, but their brain, their thought waves are just diesel because they're always thinking of something, you know, and it could get a little, extreme where you just don't believe anything. I've gotten to the point where I had to step back because it's like when I get an answer for this, it's like, well, wait a minute. Why is this like this? Oh, that's the answer. But why is this like, you know, it just never stops and you're in a loop. And I think that's why I find it so intriguing, so much fun, because it's like life. It just never, there's no answer to it. There's no real answer. You know, well, if this happened, well, why did this happen? Why did they do it like this? Or why is this like this? No, but if this happened, there's always going to be a continuation. See what I'm saying? Always. It's crazy. You know? But anyway, that's my rant for today. If you listen to this completely, then you might be somebody like me. You might think like me because you wanted to just hear a rant about conspiracies, ghosts, things like that, and why people believe, or why I believe what I believe, and people believe what I believe, or what they believe. Hopefully you believe it too. But anyway, that's all I got for you this week, man. I just wanted to rant out. And as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. Follow me on social media. And I will see you on the next smoke.